And I'm Nargis. As I said, I'm from Bay Area, so that would make me a techie person, a computer science and working in the corporate and all that stuff. A few years ago, after my second son was born, I took a break and, this thing had always interested me. And I started in that break, I started looking it into more details. And as I went in, it fascinated me a lot. And somehow my mind was, I don't know, it was automatically programmed to recognize patterns. And from those patterns, numbers spoke to me very easily. So then I started finding out the relationship between numbers and how the price was behaving. And that introduced me, going from one step to the other, it introduced me to GAN. And I heard about him and I wanted to see, what it is, who he is, and all that. So basically, GAN is from, like, I think 1800s. He was he utilized some studies which where he was able to predict the price of a certain commodity using the time, basically. So basically time cycles and price cycles. So he was like, around a certain time, price could behave in a certain way. And if you could study those, it's a very crypt. I mean, time is a very generic term, as in it exists in the universe. And so far, we know that nobody can time the time. It's there's a reason God is there for it. So human being hasn't gone to it, but at least people do try. And it's a very interesting. Mostly, it's an observation skills. Which come in very handy, and as you learn stuff, it becomes more intuitive. So basically, it all depends on that person's observation power and how you could link the patterns to numbers and back and forth, and also, how things behave in the universe. So touch wood. So far, I have been, a good student of this kind of study, and so far the studies I have been learning and trying to do, they have been coming in very handy in order to predict the markets. Having said that, some of the things which I had done was the market cycles, XPX, when the 2020 high was coming in, at that time I was still, kind of learning the universal timing of the markets, not market basically, but studying some stuff which would be very generic to the world itself, not the financial markets as such. So in that study, I had come across that 2019 is a timing for something in the stock market. I don't know what, why, but I know that there is a timing for a high. And since I was very new, I was expecting, oh, December 2019 is here and now something should happen. I don't know what I was expecting, like a, price going haywire or something. And then December passed, nothing happened. And I was like, maybe I didn't study it right. I'm still new and all that stuff was happening. But later on in February, we saw the effects of the market crashing, actually. So basically that timing was for an event. So when we say an event is going to happening, and that is part of the learning which I got, is there is a time for an event and there is a time for a reaction. Your reaction may not be equal to the time of the event. It may take some time for that event to follow. For example, there is a time for a high in February, but the effect could be seen maybe much later, like in March or in April, where we could see certain pullbacks. So likewise, when 2020 the March crash happened and it was going down, so I was counting the cycles, and I for a very strong observation had come that the price around 2174, that the bottom should be near. There were multiple confluence points which I had seen, that which pointed that around 2200, 2100, the market should try to bottom here, or at least do something. Maybe not bottom, because bottom is always, or the top is always a hindsight, right? Initially, it is just, okay, some reaction is going to happen. And after that reaction, will that zone hold? So I had combined a little bit of traditional studies I was doing before, like, what is happening on the monthly chart, what is happening on the yearly chart, and all that. And also the price coming into the cycle, I felt that this zone would be very good. And that's when I had posted out that we should see some price jumping out, because that was a very stressful time. And we would see the government doing the repo and all that stuff. And people had literally gotten tired of the selling every day. That was the first time I had observed a circuit breaker, practical. I mean, I'd heard about it, but as a trader, I had experienced it first time at that time. So that was there. And it was a very interesting time. And from there, the market started to go up. And once it started going up, I started calculating the cycle up to the upside, and I got the 3365 cycle. And above that, I think it was 2021. Yes, 2021. I had mentioned that the target for S&P would be this 7,569, and we were still in the coming up zone, meaning we were below 3365, if I'm not wrong. And this number was very high at that time, and people were like, "You're crazy." And I also felt I'm crazy. You don't know whether it's going to, I mean, it's a mathematical calculation and a number is there. I mean, you could spew any number out there, doesn't mean it's going to happen. So it was there. And at the time, I had mentioned this number was the midpoint. And I remember a few of them has commented that, Nargis, at that time you had mentioned 3,700 as the midpoint. And in that time period, the price was still in 2000s, and that number was so far away that we thought this girl is just making some crazy stuff. But when it actually reached 3,700, I started getting messages from people that, hey, this number is actually reached. And then I started getting a little confident. Oh, you know what? This is going to be okay. Because you're out there on Twitter and everywhere else, and you're putting out a number. So people do think you're crazy, and some people can be really go after you. So at that time, when your 2022 happened, at 4,800, that was also the turning point I had mentioned, because your 4,489 target was achieved, and the market did 25% extra to 4,800, and from there it fell. And that fell was again not only timed, but the price structure was also in a way where I have a full video. If you go on my pinned tweet on my Twitter, all details are there, which explains why price did what and all of those stuff. So I was hoping for a 3,481 price target down below, and SPX hit 3,491, 10 points less. And that was the time it was bottom. As I said, bottoming and top is in hindsight, but I was expecting a reaction. And based on that reaction, if certain things happen, I was expecting the price to reach 5,185. And today we are at 5,185, or at least, the high was 5,157. So approximately 25 points less that, we are there. So again, this is a midpoint. Now, the main question is, in GAN studies, the midpoints or the 50% are very, very important. And once you go over 50%, then this becomes very real. Whether it will get done in that time slice or not, that's a different story. But it always says that coming back to future, this number will get hit. And XPX is a market. So if not us, then somebody in future is going to see that number, because it is a market. Having said this, for NQ also, we have the target of this approximately 25,000. I mean, 25,000 looks an even number, but 24,337 is there, and this is a midpoint, and we are again hovering around these numbers in the midpoint. So short term, so since October, it's a non-stop constant run, right? 5 months, almost 5 months of constant run is happening, and we are reaching at not only time confluence, but price confluence as well. So this is an important junction where we need to see what happens in the next few weeks. Do we actually get some relaxation, testing back of a certain price, or the price continues after some consolidation, some breathing space, and then it continues up? That can happen. But again, when we reach at certain inflection points, we also need to make sure that our heads is on the shoulder. And so at that point, the positions become risk on. And we need to be a little bit cognizant of what we have. And what can we do with it? Is it time for to, you know, book some profits or at least have some protection plan? Meaning, do you want to get stopped out at a certain level and all that stuff? All these thought process tend to go in around these times, basically. So NASDAQ is behaving as, I mean, as such, this is always the leader because the majority of the market is made up of these handful of stocks, your FANG Mentee, and hence this sector is the most widely sought after. And these days we have two darlings going on in the market. We have one NVIDIA, and the other one is SMCI, Super Micro. I just know the tickers, guys. Don't ask me the name of the companies. So that is there. Now, NVIDIA, one observation, I mean, this is something which I always, you know, tell my subscribers also and people who follow me also is observe what has happened and what the price is telling you. It's not just, you know, looking at a chart or looking at, you know, what the company is doing and etc., but also why price hit a certain number. Okay, the answer generally lies in that. Also, NVIDIA has also, if I'm not wrong, gone at least two times, if I remember, splits, right? And both the times, or maybe three times, whatever, but at least two times I remember, it has made a confluence around 289. So let's say the last price was around 500, 600, and then it split, then the cycle again merged to that price of 289. Second time also it did, the price again came back to 289. The cycle convergence also happened. So told me that there is something about this number which NVIDIA gets attracted to, or it is the holy grail of NVIDIA. And I started paying attention to that number and to that level. And, you know, last correction 2022, when it happened and NVIDIA came to 100 or so. And from there, I started recalculating the cycle because after this high of 347 or something, it did a full retrace back down, you know, here, 100. And from there, I calculated the cycle. It again came to 289. So 257, 289, that was its magnetic zone. And I was like, this is the third time NVIDIA is coming here. It has to do something after it. Because what is the reason? You know, it loves that numbers. It loves that zone so much. So after seeing that, I calculated the future cycle, which came to 529. So when I was around here, I mean, you can go back to these tweets and see, I had posted, let's go and see, you know. It's at a cycle target of 289. This is the third time it is aligned to 289. Two times when it was going up, it attracted 289. And one time when it was coming down, it attracted 289. So if this zone holds, I had put out a target of 529, and this was last year. And last year, it struggled a lot around under 500, basically. So one earning, I think three quarters before, I think it has hit 502 or 503. And after that, during the regular trading hours, it did not hit. It would go till 485. It would get hammered down all the way till 400. It did it multiple times. And in my head, I was like, this is buying time and some blasting is going to happen after that. And surprise. And I was in my head, you know, when you go from cycle to cycle, you see a bigger cycle approaching and you take a pause there, or at least you try to see what's going to happen. But NVIDIA did not give a chance for anything else. It came out of 500 and then it ran like crazy. Today, it's almost doubled from that 441. Now it's, I think it must 900, almost close to 900. It's doubled in what, like few months time, 4 or 5 months time. And that was the end. You know, all this relationship of this high, low, what number it hit, it has the relationship, and the high it made, that has the relationship or where it had before. So this is what I generally say, you know, look at why price had done what, why was the low created around there, what the number was, why was the high created around there, and what is the relationship of the new high or new low of the previous price points. Price has a memory, so should we. At any given point, I mean, my life has become so much about numbers that if you wake up, wake me up in the middle of the night, I'll be like just chanting numbers. Okay, this, 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 this. And that's how it happens. And I'm always finding patterns, you know, okay, this happened. I'll show you a very good example, I think, here. See, SMCI, the close was 72 in Jan 2023, exactly 1 year before, the close was 72. 360 degree, meaning 1 year later in Jan 2024, it is 15x. The price, it has hit its 15x. So 72 into 15, it gave you your high, 1,080. So price at it, 1,077 before that. So you know, it is, this is basically price and this is time, and the closing and the high and the relationship between your price and time gives you your future, you know, what it can happen or what it can do. So it's a very interesting study. And sometimes it becomes very unconventional and people would say, hey, what is the formula? And sometimes it's like, probably there is a formula, there could be, but I generally observe all these things. And that is how right now I these certain smaller nuances comes to me, you know, it's, and I feel so happy that, oh my God, it's magic, you know, and absolutely it is magic. But it gives me immense happiness to see, oh my God, it's not random. I mean, things are not, people say, oh, stock market is crazy. You know, it is this, it is that, it's, I hear this term rigged a lot. Market is rigged. It's because we do not understand why price is behaving in a certain way with respect to time. Once we understand that, once we understand this, then we know, okay, it is not random. It is already devised into the future price is already devised into today's time, basically. And the reason for that, one of the things which I can say is earlier, maybe before 2016 or so, what was happening, it was the traditional style of stock market. And, you know, it was a staircase model. You'll have a certain price would go up, and then, you know, it'll wait for some time, then it'll crash. It was a staircase, right? And the price coming down was also staircase. Hence, it would take few years for a stock to reach somewhere, right? That's why there was this whole concept of long-term investment. You invest and you forget, and after a few years, your money would double or your money would go somewhere. That would happen. But after this is mostly I'm observing post-2016, is, you know, maybe because of the algos had come in, it has become more electronical. And the general public, everyone mostly, has become, the markets have become very open to them, and everybody can trade now. And since exchanges have also become electronic, it's very easy. It's become, you know, one click you can buy, one click you can sell. So it has become very easy. So, and also the algorithms have come in, and if that is the case, then how can price behave where everyone could be served? There is long term, there is short term, there is very, very short term, there is automatic trading. All of these are there. And in order to cater to all of these, I think the machines, you know, I don't know, but looks like they may be working on the cycles, and the price prints are already imprinted in those. And hence, we are seeing these super cycles coming in where, as we call them, memes, this stock has become a meme. Like, for example, Nvidia has become meme in the sense like it'll trend, and the price would double. I mean, for a very mainstream company like Nvidia, behaving like this may sound extremely crazy, right? This may happen with your AMC or your GME or your, what do you call that? Tilray, right? That, you know, marijuana stock was there. You could think, you know, those are one-off stocks and those kind of things happen, but you would not think that this kind of thing would happen with a mainstream, strong fundamental product company. But this is happening. So, you know, because maybe all this programming was already inside it. And once time met that price, it just flew from there. And for your SMCI also, it was a very, I just showed you that calculation, right? Similarly, Nvidia was also having a similar calculation where the cycle came to 1157 to 1250. That was the price cycle for Nvidia after it hit 529, and that's the number I'm looking for next. But 841 is its midpoint, and now it is around that midpoint. So again, this is a vibration zone. So in this vibration zone, generally what happens is that three things generally which can happen when it is in a very strong magnetic vibration zone is it will accelerate, meaning the price can immediately, you know, like, for example, what is happening with SMCI, what is happening with NVIDIA, it will immediately start to, you know, go haywire and hit 50, 100 points more than that. So right now we are seeing currently with that NVIDIA. The other times, you know, in a regular times, we could see, you know, price is stagnant, it'll think about it, it'll consolidate, then try to make a decision. And sometimes, or majority of the time, the first reaction is always to, you know, get thrown off from the magnetic field. You're coming in strong and there's a whole strong magnetic field and you get thrown off. So first reaction is always, you know, a little bit of pullback, which we got it from earlier, the price had hit, how much did it hit before? Before it pulled back, I think it was 823. From 823, it went all the way till, you know, it pulled back a little bit, and now it is trying back again. So there are multiple price points where, you know, the stock could consolidate, the stock could react and then decide. So at these decision points, you just need to be a little bit patient and see and have a plan. Of course, a plan is very important, that beyond this, I will not let go my profits, or I will not let go or you know, think about it. Those kind of things are very, very important, because the 50% rule is very important in terms of setting up the cycle. So that's how I operate generally. And one of the things which was with Bitcoin is it was 2019, if I'm not wrong, where first time it fell down, BTC. Let's see, because you could see. Yeah, this was 2021. This was 2019. Yeah, so 1966 was your high. And I think this was the time I was, you know, kind of monitoring. And my tweet would also be there, where I was expecting this for a pullback. And at that time, I had, you know, the cycle wise, the price structure was coming down to 3000. And we did got that 3000. And from here, if this cycle was taken out, then I was expecting a price of 65,000 on it. And this actually got crazy and hit 69,000. First, it hit 64,000, it fell back, and then went back to 69,000. So this was in line. And I was like very surprised that a very new instrument, which, you know, it was not even a real product at that time, or I don't know even if today also it is a real product, but it is there. So usability aside, the good stuff all aside, the fundamental side all aside, but in such a very new instrument, in such a instrument where, you know, the actual usability, where people are still, you know, debating whether it's real, not real, and all that stuff, it hit the price cycle, and that made me a believer of my work, you know, and I was like, oh my God, this is so magical and, you know, very, very fascinating. And from here, initially, you always expect, as I said, the top and bottom is always the hindsight. You always first expect a reaction to a certain level. First is always normalizing, because by the time it came here and the way it came comes here, your for example, your daily would be really bloated. It would get overbought in your traditional terms, in your traditional technical analysis terms. And you'd always expect there is a resistance, there is a cycle resistance, and there is a time resistance. And then the traditionally speaking, your daily or your weekly is also bloated. So, and two, three things matches up, a confluence happen, then the pullbacks can become real. So the expectation of a pullback becomes real, and you can expect the price to pull back. But from here, the price actually pulled back a lot, and it almost went back to this 2019 price. And if you follow my thread, all my threads are basically a history of the cycle, of where it was, where it is going, and, you know, the whole path. So it's a whole history. So if you take time and read it, you would know, you know, why price behaved like that, and, you know, what is happening. And from here, it was the bottom. And I had made a video also on YouTube, on my channel. Up till here, till, you know, 25 to 33 or 35, it's okay for the price to go, because see, this is your whole of supply. Your supply and demand theory also kicks in here, and you will be surprised how nicely it behaves. So if you could just go through the supply and demands, you would know, you'd see it actually works. So here, if you see right here, this was your supply zone. It has reached, and then it would be a decision point. So at this point, I had made a video. It will be on my YouTube channel, in my pinned tweet. I had explained what to expect of BTC. Before that, I had made a, you know, in, I think in the same video or before that video, I had explained the same thing about XPX as well. And the theory was a lion theory. You know, the way it is, like, you know, you're going and you're walking happily and nicely, and suddenly you see a lion in front of you and you get shocked. And then for a few seconds, you don't know what to do. And, you know, and then the information sinks in. Oh my God, there's a lion and it's a danger. What do? You run. Okay. You run for your life. So this is exactly like this. Now, this is a huge supply, and it's not only just one line. If it had only been this one line, then it's an unbalanced transactions. So, you know, covering that would be easy. But this structure is there, this structure is there, and this structure is there. It was a total, it's an M, which means all the transactions have been balanced. And if the price doesn't go above this, it would be absolutely fine. Okay. It would be rather expected, because all this is balanced out. So technically, if the price doesn't go above here, it falls back and comes and goes to zero. I mean, not zero, but makes a new low as well. That would be absolutely okay as well. But if price actually wanted to go from here, then it would be in the form of seeing a lion, meaning you have to run for your life. So the moment price started sitting above here, my theory of seeing a lion got activated, and I was expecting that price would see 50,000 very fast, because XPX had done the same thing. And if it were to repeat the same thing, then this hurdle of a mountain needs to be traveled very fast. And this is what we see. Maybe in a couple of months or less, the price went out, and actually it made a new high by 200 points, 210 points. Earlier high was 69,000 exactly. Now it is 69,210. It made that. Now again, this is 1, 2, 3. Three times price has hit here. So the next thing is, you know, what it does here, you know, would it actually hit higher, you know, from here? So it could easily hit, you know, in 80s, depending on what time. If this is in March, right? So March, it can directly hit closer to 80,000, you know, but first it would be 75,000 or so, 70 to 75, basically, if it is above 69. Or is it a triple top? The triple top could also come here. Okay. It doesn't have to be. I mean, the idea of the top at exactly same point is not true, because see, this was 64, almost 65,000. This was 69,000, and it puked. It could go up till all the way till 80 and then puke, and it will still be valid. So what I'm saying is, here above this, your risk on can become a reality. And there the idea of laddering comes in. Meaning, let's say you have 10 Bitcoins and that would make you a very rich person. So, which is very good. You have that, then, you know, once you have approached here, then you know that it is a strong, strong resistance. Two times it was not able to cross. Third time, it may also think before it takes an action. So you would take some of your, you would at least release some of your capital. And so that, you know, that tension of so much money out there, it goes away. And then, you know, once it is going out and you see it has taken out the new high and it is operating out of the new high, then at the next level, you load some more off. And after that, you operate on stop loss basis that, okay, I'm not going to give up my gains, but I'll operate on stop losses and also speculate till how high the price can go. Right. So that gives you not only mental peace, it also helps you book your profits in parts and also to not give away back. Like, see, what happens is generally the greed takes over. And because once we have seen 69,000, it's very easy to imagine 70,000. It's very easy to imagine 75,000. And then immediately when the price reacts to it and pulls back, you're not able to exit your position because you have seen 70,000. So at 60,000, you are not worrying about losing the profit. The mind is worrying about, oh my God, that 10,000 is off, right? I did not take the profit when it was 70,000, and that doesn't let you exit. So laddering generally helps you do in a book in parts. First idea is always to protect your capital, you know, take some off the table, and then you have, you still have a lot to go on. And then you, protect your profits. After that, you leave some off, you know, for speculative play till how high it can go. Because, for example, NVIDIA is there. So 840 is your midpoint cycle. And then, you know, you took off some off there and you let a few go. And then you see, okay, will it hit 900 or 1000? Because once it is getting closer to 900, automatically, psychologically, 1000 is the next number. And you know, and that is not just a number, you know, it's a very big change because it's a triple digit. Your triple digit is going to change into four digits. And it's not only just a number, it's a mental crossover. Okay. So once the price goes above 1000, the whole trajectory changes. And, you know, and that's where you start imagining, oh, now next is 1500. And that's where most people get this whole, idea of greed sucks you in, and you know, people are not able to exit. And as a result, in 2020, 2021, 2022, people were like, became bag holders. So it's very important not just to keep in mind the cycle target, but also how that journey had happened. Okay. It's very important. For example, this is a straight line of a very fundamentally strong company. This generally doesn't happen. Now, if you were to speculate and say, hey, I'll wait for 1000, I'll wait for 1500 and all, that's okay. You can do that. But at some point, you also have to think, what if it pukes 200 and 300? I mean, if you're doing it for short term, your long term portfolio is a completely different story. How you do it, where you do it, you know, what's your plan, what's your exit plan, and all that stuff is there. So it's always two or three mindsets. One is your long-term investor mindset. Second is your trading mindset, but a little bit longer trading mindset. And then there is a short-term mindset. So in all of these three, number one, you should not mix all of these three, meaning a short-term mindset where you had traded NVIDIA for a short time to speculate whether it'll go to 900 or not. That shouldn't turn into a long-term investment because that was not your intention. That itself will avoid you, will not let you book your profits. So it's very important to stay on path. I had gone in the intention of NVIDIA hitting 900 and I will be out when it does that. And that will, you know, always keep you consistent. So consistent is one thing. It's very, very important. Because we are here in this market to make money, okay? And that should be your main goal. And all every other thing, like, you know, the company, the technical analysis, this analysis, that analysis, is nothing but become tools to support that one goal. So once you have that goal defined, okay, I'm here to build my wealth, I'm here to make money, I'm here to make my side income, then all those rules gets activated. When, why, how? All these things becomes activated and you should operate on those. That's there. And next is, again, AMD. Now, AMD had a beautiful story. You know, for past 2-3 years, NVIDIA has always been the darling and people have been paying attention to a lot. And because of that, AMD has always shadowed it. But when this thing came at, in 2021 or late 2020, when the prices had gone, there were two stocks which had fallen a lot, Meta, and it was due to, you know, some fundamental structure also, and Netflix as well. And they had come, and those were the ones which were falling. And at that time, I had started thinking, what if this is a precursor of something? And what if following this, everything else also starts doing it? And that actually started happening. You know, your growth stocks were, had done almost three cycles at a time, which is kind of unheard of. And at that time, from all technical indicators perspective, everything was bloated out there. And I was thinking, you know, 2.5 to 3 cycle is done, everything is bloated, what is it going to come? And then your Netflix and Meta had started to fall, and I was thinking, okay, is this a precursor to something? And that's when I started paying attention to XPX, started seeing the cycle structure, and then I started seeing, okay, this was your cycle number at 4489. It has reset the cycle higher to 7569, and it has done a quarter cycle above the actual cycle. So, and this is the structure of the market. This is what it is talking. So what can happen? So that is when I had started putting out, you know, be cautious, be this, be that. And we started getting a big pullback in the markets, and AMD also came there. I think 54, 57, it had come. And that was the time I had said, you know, all these things need to be paid attention to. I had put out a number of every stock where their big support, cycle support was coming. And one of the interesting thing to note is when the whole market structure is behaving in a similar way, most of your leading stocks will come to a confluence around at the same time. For example, your Amazon was 81, I think, low. Amazon, your Google, one of them was 81, other one was 85. So between the two, they were very similar price. Your AMD, your Nvidia, your Meta, your Netflix, Google, Microsoft, XPX, your NASDAQ, YM, meaning the Dow. Dow is always leading the cycle in terms of going down and going up. That will tell you where actually if it is bottoming or not. Your RTY, all of them will form a confluence and will arrive at their numbers in a similar time frame. And when that happens, that is when the magic happens. That's your turning point. That is the time you just go and buy stuff and not think about, okay, is it going to fall more? Yes, it can. There is no hard and fast rule. It cannot happen. But your stop losses are, your risk is very close by. Say, let's say you bought Amazon at 81 and price turns over, then, you know, your stop loss is very close by and your risk is very well defined. And what is the reward? The reward could be very good. First is the retracement. You always go with the retracement without knowing that it is bottoming or not, or whether the cycle has bottomed or not, all that stuff. But first is you always retrace to a certain point. And from there onwards, you start saying, okay, this is what it is holding. And from there on, the cycle can continue. And that's then you start going to the further point out. Luckily for us, market has bottomed in 2022. Around all those numbers, and from there it didn't look back. And today we are at 5185, or rather at the door of 5185, and I am waiting to see what can happen. Meaning, will it continue beyond 5185 without having a decent pullback? So the price is open from 5185 to 5400. It can pull back 50-100 points and then release the pressure from time to time, but it has that going there, or it reacts around this 5200 and then pulls back. You know, your next support would come between 4700 to 4500. Would it go there? And from there, we go back up and take out 5185. So these could be multiple paths where your next long-term good numbers could be set up. But right now, there is pressure. There is a lot of pressure around us. But surprisingly, your FANG mentees are very, very normal. They are not moving at all. Apple is down. Your Tesla is down. The only thing up is NVIDIA and your supermicro computer, AMD. These three are the performing stars. And I'm thinking and I'm talking to myself, what exactly is going to come when the semiconductor is the only industry which is, or maybe very few stocks in the semiconductor industry is running? What exactly is what we are not seeing or forthcoming, because it's a chip, right? You have that in from toys to your, stuff in your kitchen, your blender to your refrigerator, to your car, to your aeroplane, to your rocket. Every single thing has that. And what if this is a precursor of something? So this is how I think, what is it that it is trying to tell me? So I try to look for the story. What is the story behind it? And that is one of the biggest part of my analysis. What is, so last year, 2022, the macro was very bearish, right? 2022, and everybody was, hey, we are going to, 3,000, 2,500, 2,000, there was Armageddon everywhere. And at that time, I was like, okay, 3,481, this number holds, we are going to 5,000. And I was the only one apparently at that time trying to swim against the tide. That makes me crazy, yes. but the whole idea was, why did I think it would go to 5,000 first before when the macros, the economy, everything is not there, your interest rate story is there and all that stuff. One of the things which I had seen is like, there's too much war stories going on. There's war here, there's war there. All people, but the other thing which came out and spoke to me was people were very frustrated. People just wanted relief. Like, what is happening? There is this, there is that. And I thought, if the government is smart, not government meaning not just the US government, the government across the world, if they are smart, the one thing they need to listen to is the people, right? Meaning, if the people are frustrated and there is overall frustration coming out, you would see fights on the streets, people are fighting, doing crazy stuff, a lot of, noise was happening. And so I was thinking, if they really need to, pay attention to people, then they would not drop the market, because this is only the one sane thing which will keep things in perspective for the common man, right? I mean, me as a single person, I don't know how the economy works or what the government is doing or when they will reduce the rate or when they will increase the rate. I could only speculate, think that they will think this way, but exactly, I don't know. So the only thing which I thought was, what if the people are so frustrated, then if I am the government, or if I'm the one who's supposed to take care of the people, what should I do in order to make sure there are no common riots happening on the streets? So one of the things was, let the market go to the upside. That cancels out all the noise. People are happy. They're talking about stock market. Nobody cares about what's actually brewing underneath. And that's what happens. And this is what one of the things is, observe the conditions around you, observe the people, and think, and try to put yourself in those shoes and see, what if I were to manage that, what could I do in order to, offset certain of the things. So one of the things which has happened in the market is, now we have 5 days expirations, right? From Monday to Friday, all days it is expiring. And if the price needs to be balanced, right? Now everybody cannot get paid. Right. If you were short on the certain stock, if you were long on the certain stock, or if the everybody was super long on a certain stock, then one side has to keep paying that money. So this 5 day of expiration is operating in such a way that majority of the people will lose, because it's a, it's that casino concept, the house always wins, that kind of a thing. I'm still trying to decipher how this 5 day is working, but generally, what I have observed so far is both sides get screwed, depending on, which side started it. So it's very, very important, especially if you're playing options. I mean, we do a lot of options. We design a lot of options, from regular calls, puts to complex butterflies, ratio flies, and all that stuff. And since I do cycle work, I design my complex spreads around the targets, basically. So we've played a lot of earnings, and surprisingly, 90 to 95% of the earnings, the projection of the earnings have come out correct. Meaning, for example, yesterday the crowd was reporting, right? And it had already run to 325 before. The high was 347, and from there it puked. Your Zscaler, your Palo Alto Networks, and one more stock was there, which is similar space. All three of them has tanked on their earnings. So the expectation was crowd will also do that. But when I looked at the chart 3 days ago, I said, from first cut, it looks like it's going to resolve to the upside. And then we got a pullback yesterday, right? The market had pulled back. Crowd had also gone below 300. Your PanW had gone to test the low. Your Zscaler had also come down. And I was like, all three of them are oversold in some capacity. So tomorrow, crowd is going to resolve to upside to 360, because 361 was its cycle number. I mean, but it doesn't mean that it's going to go and hit 360 exactly at the time. It could hit 325 and from there on carried on in the next few sessions to that number. But today it actually hit 361. So that's how, it's very important, the journey along with the direction of what can happen. It's very, very important to see how that stock had come to that place before making a decision, what can happen. So this is one of the most important thing I do in my studies too, is to study the journey as well before deciding the destination, how it has traveled, so that we know whether this particular path is feasible right now or not. That's one of the things I do. I think I've been talking a lot without looking at if somebody's asking a question or not. So if somebody wants to talk, that's good. You're talking about what has happened. This is past knowledge. What about the future? Nobody makes money out of the past. Money can be made now or in the future. Yes, that is true. But I'm talking about the studies I do, and it's there. And if you see the future, I had talked about in 2022 that the market is going to 5,000, and today it is there. Now, again, currently I am saying that we are at a conjuncture, at an inflection point where I do expect a pullback. Now, how much are we going to get? That's another story. But we are in a vibration zone. And yes, around 5,185, plus minus a certain, maybe 1 to 2% or so. The only thing is how far we can get a pullback. I am open till 4,200 because all your SPX gaps are there. This is very important information. SPX has left out. So your gaps in SPX is still 4,200. So that path is opened. Okay. The nearest pullback zone is 4,700. And that would be the minimal we could expect in order to just release the pressure. Okay. If, for example, I will show you for the people who are still, let me do this. Yes. Okay. How to move this from the, yeah. So this is where your 2000, this is 2021, and this is your 2022 bottom. And it spent some time here and then it went back up. It came back and tested this zone. Okay. And it went up. And this is your current price structure. So this is from here, 4,700 to 4,600, this black line. This black line was the line in the sand for me. What happens above this or not is what I was going to see. So this from green to black is your first zone where it is, where it can come and release some pressure. And then if it can come back all the way till here, this blue line, let's say hypothetically, okay? Let's say we come back and pull back all the way till this blue line, 3752. Now, it will be a lot of damage. From 5,000 to 3752, it's a lot of damage, right? But the price structure would still be bullish, So this is how the market is operating right now. If you see, when it is going up, it is going up multiple cycles from here to here, all the way straight. And when it is coming down, it is coming down in the same way, half cycle or full cycle. So the minimum is here. Then this is your midpoint, 4,200, and this is your 3,752 number. This is the most shallow pullback we can get. This is a decent one, but this structure is already tested. So this becomes your most probable area. And this could be, a deeper because there are gaps here in SPX around 4,200. So we can say, this zone is open. And this here would be your worst case scenario. But still, the structure is still bullish in the sense like if the price stops here, it would take you back to higher, to your actual cycle. So that is how it is seen. Now, this here in this green to this yellow, this is your inflection zone where price will need to decide what it's going to do. It's going to rest. It's going to pull back. It could, like, for example, from here to here, it took months. It took full 1 year, actually, or maybe 1.5 years to decide and come out of it. It can also do the same thing. It doesn't have to, it can operate in 200, 300 point range, go all the way till here, 25, 26, and then push it out. All this thing can happen. The only thing I know right now is It is at a midpoint, it is at an inflection point, a decision needs to happen, and it can, and the decision can come in one of the three ways. Eventually, it will have to decide. There are only two paths. Eventually, either it is up or it is down. But by the time it is deciding, it is, you know, sideways. All that stuff is happening. So right now, I'm just waiting and watching and seeing, you know, what can happen. If we get a pullback, I would be really happy because it takes away all the pressure from the markets, and, you know, a lot of bloatedness is there, and that will get cleared away. And, you know, you could get some new positions. You will be okay to get some new positions, and then, you know, start the journey once again. And yes, Nvidia, I was out early, you know, at 729, because that was my cycle target for it. So I was out there. But after that, I was straight. I do a lot of options. So I was playing a lot of options on them. SMCI, we traded up and down both sides, because, you know, even though it was trading like crazy. I mean, if you see from outside, the move is absolutely crazy. 100 points in a day, 200 points in a day, then 100 points down. But it was following the levels, the cycle levels, very precisely. And hence, people who were following me, they were able to make some sense out of it. When you say vibrational, is this GAN research related? Yes, it is. All these terms come from, you know, there, when we say the price is vibrating, there's a magnetic field, all this stuff is there because, you know, like, for example, the price is vibrating around 840 because it is trying to think, it is fighting that resistance zone and trying to make a path for it. Your first reaction would be to, you know, get thrown off from that position. Like you're running, you throw a ball on the wall. The first reaction is always it comes down, comes back, and then, you know, you hit it enough, and then, you know, it tries to go back. So if you are running too fast, then, you know, you don't stop at the line, you go past the line. So that's what can also happen. If it is running too fast, it will go beyond. So it won't stop at 729. It will go to 750, 775. It can happen that because the speed is so high, right? So suddenly it may not stop. So I try to relate it to the real life. If I'm running so fast, I may not be able to break it immediately, you know, so it can exceed. So price does exceed there. So yeah, definitely the vibrations and all of that stuff is there. So any other questions? I think this is something which I had just noted down if people had questions. Tesla, yes. Tesla, everyone is, you know, like the star performer is not so much the star performer anymore. Yes, the Tesla cycle is stalled, just like Apple's cycle is stalled. Basically, I wouldn't say it is stalled. Apple, you know, from 192, it is doing its job correctly till 169. So I'll go back to Tesla because I started talking with Apple. So I'll finish Apple. So Apple cycle was 169 and 183 was where it would reset the cycle to higher. So it did reset the cycle to 361. So in future, provided everything is okay, Apple is standing, the fundamentally, the time, and, you know, the CEO, what do you call that? What would be the good term? Let's just say the horoscope of the CEO also matches with the company and all other stuff in the universe is aligned, then yes, it would hit 361 in the future. But it hit 183 and it has run up a little bit, made a new high. And from there, so this is a prime example of how the cycle would work. It took out it reset the cycle, it printed a future number, and then it is stalling. And now it is coming down and it's, you know, around 169, its actual first cycle target, and it'll think around there. Now, once it breaks 169 and the market is also weak, for example, then you'll see, okay, Apple may come down more. So that is there. And which is a good thing in the sense, like, it'll give you a better opportunity to, you know, try something and then go long for that. But this is how generally the cycle works. It goes and it, you know, resets. Plays a little bit like your AMD also did exactly the same thing. AMD and Apple are in the same plane with the similar targets. And AMD is also doing exactly the same what Apple had did. But AMD exceeded. It has actually gone above 200.